This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crack 'em if you got 'em. It's a Thirsty Thursday as we open hour number two with the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Playoff baseball is resuming in just over an hour. Thursday night football. It's, of course, a Cowboys bye week, but the Mavs and Bucks play tonight, 6:30 on TNT. If you want to watch some hoop, you're in a good spot. Okay, we do have the top 10 NBA players from ESPN released today. Where do you think Luka is? We'll discuss that here coming up in about 20. Right now, it's your NFL news of the day, Zach Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. Yesterday, the Cowboys did actually add a player. Now, this is somebody that's going to be on the practice squad. It's not a blockbuster edition by any means, but Jalen Dalton. 6'6", 300 pounds, played at North Carolina, former undrafted free agent of the Bears in 2019. He spent time with several other NFL clubs and then just played with the Seattle Sea Dragons and the San Antonio Brahmas in the UFL. So he's now headed to Dallas to try maybe make an active roster. He'll be on the practice squad, but another body along the defensive line. So we'll see if Jalen Dalton ever gets any playing time. Now, one move that I've already seen a ton of Cowboy fans ask, like, okay, is this finally the time? Hebron zone.
Oh, no.
Jamal Adams.
No.
Yep. My gosh, Jamal Adams and Earl Thomas, two safeties that all of a sudden their careers. Now, Earl Thomas certainly a more lengthy, successful career and then just got old. But Jamal Adams at one point was like one of the best defense players in the league. And then all of a sudden it's like, damn, this dude is bouncing around, just gets cut again by the Titans after he had requested his release. So the Titans say, all right, at this point, we wish Jamal all the best going forward. Just didn't work out here. He'll have great success wherever he goes.
I think you know whichever team puts in a claim on this dude, that's a team you got to keep your eye on as a team that's tanking their balls off. So I don't
think anybody's going to put a claim in. I think he's going to clear waivers.
So the more I think about it, actually, I think this might be the move. Like it for the Cowboys.
The timing kind of fits.
The timing kind of does fit.
Yeah.
You're now in the market for players that can help you lose football games. And I don't know that they need any more help, but this is a guy that could certainly go a long way.
Yeah, maybe Jamal Adams, could he rush the passer for you? Blitz? I mean, that was kind of maybe the best.
Just make him a full-time edge.
Put him at linebacker. Yeah, or an edge. I mean,
You need pass rushers right now, Broadus. Don't sit here and look me in the eye and tell me you don't need pass rushers.
No. You need pass rushers. You're right about that.
I mean, full-time edge on a tanking team.
Three techniques. You need maybe one technique.
Put him right over the quarterback.
Whatever you have to do.
Right over the center.
Right over the center.
Let him rush. Let him just go to try and figure this out. You know, get creative with this.
I was on a couple different platforms this morning where people were asking me about why no Wanya Thomas or Bell playing. You know. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
I think it's fair because your safeties have been really, really bad. So I'm like, at what point? Maybe that's a bye week move for Zimmer. Like, hey, let's give this a shot. Because I think Marquise Bell is a sound player. I mean, I don't know how much Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson are really giving you. I at least respect Donovan Wilson that he's always trying. You know, like you, it's funny to watch him and Diggs play next to each other mm-hmm. because they're just polar opposites. One guy wants to avoid contact. The other guy is always seeking it out. Sure. It's just unfortunate Donovan Wilson is just not that good anymore.
Yeah, Wilson's, I mean, I don't think he's ever been a good coverage guy.
Right.
But it's the angles, you know, some. But he will hit people. Malik Hooker, I've always been told, like, you're not going to get an appreciation for what Malik Hooker is doing.
Just, not if you appreciate interceptions when they hit your player.
Well,
in the hands
he's the smartest safety they've got in terms of getting everybody lined up, understanding yeah. what the defense is. Malik Hooker is that guy that where, like, just the average fan, it's tough to really appreciate what he brings to the table. And maybe that's something to do with it in terms of, I don't know, I mean, the special teams that they're asking Wanye and Malik and Marquise Bell to do. When mm-hmm. I see Bell get into the game, though, I'm like, this guy clearly, I think, should be getting more playing time. He
yeah,
plays.
And it's unfortunate, but this is a reality of Mike Zimmer taking over, is it takes a while to get the kind of players in that can thrive in his system. And Donovan Wilson is just not it. He's the polar opposite of what a Zimmer safety should be, because you need two guys, you know, that can cover
yeah.
In order for it to all come together properly.
Now, the Steelers are looking at making a change at quarterback. Russ Wilson's healthy. He's practiced with the number ones all week long. And here was Justin Fields talking to reporters about the potential of being benched.
I don't think I've played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. You know, if I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of you should be playing, you should not. So, at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that, but, you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at, and, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
Warms my heart to hear players that aren't good enough accept that. Seriously,
accountability.
Dude.
I don't think I played good enough. I'm being real with you. And I think that's why the locker room does love Justin Fields. He's just, like, brutally honest. I think, you know, at 4-2, they did win some games. I still think he's better than what Russell Wilson's going to give them.
Nice six-game run for him, though. You know, he's not under contract next year.
No,
for
one
this
deal.
Year.
Yeah.
So
he improved his,
yeah,
his narrative.
He resuscitated.
He can keep you upright a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is his game against the Cowboys wasn't particularly great.
No.
But, man, I'll tell you what, though. You know, everybody's like, this guy throwing a lot of dirt on him. And he showed up. I mean, he showed up with his ability to kind of run around. He got a little bit better as a passer. And, you know, you're 4-2. I think that's a lot, says a lot about what Mike Tomlin and those cats do over there, too.
Absolutely.
You know, but yay. You have to resuscitate your career, and he did a good job of that.
He did. He put some good tape out there.
What'll be interesting is if Russ falls apart, now he's just kind of standing over there waiting, you know.
Just go back to him.
And how fast does Mike Tomlin go back to him? Does Russ have a 3-game leash, or do you give him 6 games like you gave Fields?
Oh,
Can you afford to give him 6 games?
I know. I think it's a short leash.
It's a short leash.
I think Fields knows if Russ goes out there and pees down his leg.
Yeah.
That he's going to be back there playing quarterback by the time November turns around again.
I mean, Russ certainly isn't going to be able to create with his legs like Fields has done, and that's been their offense. I mean, we saw in the preseason, Russ didn't look good. They didn't move the football. When Fields got in, they moved the ball a little bit. They just, you know, the turnovers are an issue with him, and you never really know where the ball is going to go when it leaves his hands when he throws. But we'll have to see, monitor that situation moving forward with Pittsburgh. Now, Mike Williams on the trade block. I've seen some reports like a team might offer a bologna sandwich for him at this point for the Jets. So I don't think they're going to get a ton in return. But the Chargers, where he just left, the Steelers and the Saints are among the teams, according to The Athletic, that have reached out about possibly acquiring Mike Williams, who to this point this year has 10 catches and 145 yards on 17 targets. Definitely hurt guy, not always available, but is a big body downfield target that maybe could help a team in the like 6 to 8 games that he plays.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how I'm sure some of these teams are maybe desperate enough, and the Chargers. I mean, hey, and give our guy credit, he's our boy. But Simi Fehoko is like a serious piece to that passing attack right now with the Chargers.
Yeah,
and he's made some plays for him. And
Simi's a hell of a guy.
We really love him. But I could see the Chargers being like, hey, reunion, let's do this. But everything's a little bit different there now. It's not like they're running the same offense or anything.
New coaching
like that,
staff as well.
He is not moving the needle for me in any way for any team.
I'm with you on that. Now, the Steelers, I mean, they're desperate for a receiver. Maybe they end up making that move. Who knows? Nick Chubb is back. He's set to return here week 7. And he put in a Players Tribune, damn, I really did this bleep again. That was my first thought after I went down against Pittsburgh last season. When you get hurt like I got hurt, that weird thing is that you don't ever really feel anything, but you hear everything.
Oh.
You hear that weird silence in the crowd. You can sense your teammates kind of gathering around you. You're hearing a lot. And if it's going to be all right, that's never a good sign. But once guys start getting down on one knee, you know it's pretty bad. If it's my teammates praying over me, maybe it's just a bone bruise. Maybe I'll be back for the playoffs, but now I got Steelers praying over me.
Oh, no.
That's when you know it's serious. The dark thoughts start creeping in. Now he's back, and I'm just happy to see Nick Chubb on a football field again because that injury did look like it could be career-threatening.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a welcome back for him in Cleveland. That's also a team that's probably not going anywhere, but when he takes the field against the Bengals, that'll be a great moment for, I'm sure, Browns fans and for Nick Chubb to get him back out there. So good for him, man.
Yeah, yeah. You can imagine you're laying there, you know, you're in pain, you've been rolling around a little bit, and you're, you know, thinking, oh, I should be probably getting up and heading for the sidelines here pretty quick, and people are like, no, don't move.
Yeah.
And you look around, and the, both teams are there taking a knee. It's just...
That's got to be... Ugh, yeah. You know it's bad.
Yeah.
You know it's bad.
You hate those kind of games.
Now, Jonathan Brooks, his practice window has also opened up for the Carolina Panthers. That was, of course...
Our runner.
I believe a Cowboy target. I think if he had a fall into the Cowboys there in the second round, he'd have a star in his helmet. And we'd be talking about him getting ready to play against the 49ers. But Panthers took him. They actually traded up to pick him at number 46 overall. Chuba Hubbard's done a pretty damn good job there for them, the Oklahoma State product. But here comes the top back in this year's draft, 6'1", 216 pounds. Don't know for sure if he's going to play this week, but the practice window's open. He's been out there, and Jonathan Brooks will be seeing his first NFL action here very, very soon.
Is he like in fantasy football, is that a waiver claim guy? Do you go ahead and make
some people have stashed him.
You drafted stash, put him on an IR spot.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Just because you knew at some point he was going to pop up for you.
Yep.
So I wish I had been using that much foresight.
I did it in a league, but I think my team's like 1-5 in said league, so it doesn't really matter.
This is a guy that can carry you. This is a guy that can carry you.
Maybe I could trade him. Maybe you're right. Raiders owner said it's just not happening in regards to a Max Crosby trade.
Raiders owner Tom Brady?
What? Yeah, Brady said no go on this one, guys. No, it's the,
right on.
The bad haircut dude.
That's what we need. That's Mark Davis. That's what we need if we want this Micah thing to get any legs going.
Okay, well, they did reach out to the Jets about Hassan Reddick. So Detroit has at least explored the Hassan Reddick situation. I don't know if they'll make that move, but GM Brad Holmes is doing his homework, according to Dan Campbell. So they are kind of looking across the league at what are their options here. I'm sure if the Cowboys actually put Micah Parsons out there as an available player to trade for, Detroit would be all over that. But I don't think he's out there as an available piece. Speaking of the Cowboys, Dion Orsini, of course, who got that one-on-one interview with Jerry on Tuesday right after the owners' meetings, which apparently is where Jared Bell did too from USA Today. But Jared Bell just released that article today, so it seems like it's fresh, but it's all from Tuesday. It's all from the same day, same anger, same fire there. But Diana was asked on the Dan Le Batard show which owner has the worst breath. Now, I did cut out the middle part here where she's talking about David Tepper because they asked, like, is it David Tepper? She said Tepper wasn't there. His wife was there. She's a big fan of David Tepper's wife, but then she immediately goes into another owner, and here is the exchange.
So, I don't know. I mean, I talked to Jerry, and Jerry just kind of smells like old man.
Right.
Like, not in a bad way. Sure. Just like...
There's no good way to smell like old man, Diana.
It's like what your grandpa smells like. Like, it's just...
Right, right. We know the smell.
You know, like, you're like, oh, I know that smell. Yeah. Like, they had their vitamins.
Are you wearing a diaper?
They definitely had their medication. Like, you know, like, there was definitely that scent, but otherwise, everything else about him is young.
She's hilarious. I think, you know, you don't want to be on that list. You know, maybe that's just another sign, you know, that Jerry should be taking. We were just talking Raiders. I don't want this to be Al Davis's last 10 years. That was horrible for that organization.
Mm-hmm.
You might say they still haven't recovered. You know,
mm-hmm.
when Gruden was there in, 2001, they still have not recovered, mm-hmm. right? What commenced after that? It was Al Davis's last 10 years. That's the guy that Jerry looked up to.
Right.
You know, that's the NFL owner he most patterns himself after. You think he's stepping away or you think he's digging in more? Unfortunately, I think it's the latter. like the guy that smells like grandpa. And if I had to boil that down to one smell, it is the mothballs. You know, there's just something in his clothes that it's been sitting in a closet for 2 decades. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And then sometimes he tries to cover that smell up with far too much cologne and aftershave. Yep. And it's just reeking off
of
them.
It's a gross one.
A really outdated one.
It is.
But, man, so was that the breath factor?
Yeah. They asked, like, which owner has the worst breath. They tee it up, assuming it's David Tepper. And then she pivots from saying Tepper's not there. The wife was great, though. I'd love to party with her.
Okay, so she didn't give the answer to that.
And then immediately just brought up Jerry.
Because I think Jim Irsay makes a ton of sense.
Jim Irsay could,
I was thinking any one of these owners, like a smoker, guy or gal. I mean, we got some
lady owners
involved like
Denise
here too.
York or whatever.
Yeah, we got some smoker folks.
Yeah,
I could see that in a way Tepper, of cigarettes, though. Not the other stuff.
If Tepper hadn't been there, that probably would have been the main answer. Apparently, Mike Evans did not participate in practice today. He tweaked his leg during the team's game on Sunday, according to Todd Bowles. So that's something to monitor heading into the weekend. And the last thing here is when's the last time anybody heard or thought of Fireman Ed, Jet super fan?
Last couple of years, you know, I saw him on a highlight package with him standing up yelling at people.
You might think he quit.
I thought he quit on his team.
He took a mental health break from the Jets, and I think we can all understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Let's show some respect here.
But he thinks they're phasing him out there with the Jets. I'd like to know if somebody knows anything.
Aaron Rodgers says
it's evident that it's happening and it needs to stop because we need home field advantage, says Fireman Ed.
Shut up, Ed. These super fans in their costumes thinking they're way important and like the organization owes them anything. You're just getting a little bit more dressed up, you know? It's not Halloween, okay? You're not an integral piece of the community fabric. You're the crazy fan that SportsCenter likes to capture on video.
That wolf in jail in Kansas City would like a word with you.
Right? I mean, most of these people are socially dysfunctional, you know, to be honest with you, Woolchuck, and it's a cry for attention.
Hey, shout out to Crazy Ray. We love him. Though.
I love Crazy Ray. There are some cool ones. There are some very cool ones.
Crazy Ray had the whistling thing he did. It was pretty cool.
I love you, Fireman.
I bought a lot of pennants from Crazy Ray. Yeah.
The words of Gavin Doss are not a reflection of all of our show.
Oh, yeah, this needs to stop. I'm responsible for home field advantage. Shut up,
I did think it was a little
weird. Phasing me out is crazy.
Yeah. Phasing out. Like, I don't know who decided this. Somebody needs to tell them this is not cool.
Aaron Rodgers.
Used to be on the Jumbotron all the time, and now I'm not.
They're having meetings about me, bro.
Yeah,
right.
That is a little bit of self-importance.
He does have a legendary like first down point. You know, I feel like Fireman Ed. He's a guy you'd want captaining your section
keep
for sure.
Doing your thing.
No disrespect, but just stay in your lane. Yeah. Come on. How is this a story on ESPN.com? Fireman Ed thinks he's being phased out.
And it's a high story on ESPN.
Slow news day.
I was stunned.
We got to run. Top 10 NBA players released. Do you agree with where they put Luka? That's next here in the nation.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, buddy. Welcome back. G-Bag Nation. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. I'm not against all super fans, just ones that think they're, you know, a player. And apparently some media outlets think some of them are as important as players as well. So maybe I'm off on this one. Segment's also brought to you by Soda. That is state of the art. And we have Brian's Krusty's Corner coming up here in about 3:40. I wanted to talk some basketball here. ESPN's Top 100 is now complete. We have takeaways from there. OKC has a couple of news items happening here. Number one, Isaiah Hartenstein, small hand injury, so he'll miss about the first month of the season. And he is one of the reasons that they are picked to win the West, he and the arrival of Alex Caruso. But the Thunder might be getting an incredible draft god's gift, as if they haven't had enough, Chief. What is the latest there?
Okay, so it starts with the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard, who's expected to be sidelined for an indefinite period of time. This, according to Shams.
Yeah, I think he's done. I think his career's over.
Yes.
I agree.
I mean, in terms of it being him being a consistent guy who can play even half of the games, you're right. That, like, he's going to just play out this contract that he's on because he's getting a ton of money, and he'll probably play 10 or 12 games. Like, that's just what his career's amounted to now. He's already got the knee inflammation, so he'll be sidelined indefinitely. And so this just reminded folks on NBA
Twitter.
That's
where Brandon Roy was. He can show up and play, like, good for one game, and then the inflammation gets so bad he needs, like, 2 weeks to recover. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but the kicker is the Thunder and the Clippers still have a pick swap for this year.
My goodness.
So in the first round, unprotected from the Paul George deal, correct. So let's just say the Clippers end up being a bottom-out team and they suck and they get a lottery pick, then that'll be able to just go immediately to the Thunder. They'll swap it, and now the Thunder have wherever the Clippers are picking, which in theory could be the number one overall pick, and it would still go to the Thunder. Mm.
The Clippers look like they're a lottery team on paper. You know, maybe a top 10 lottery team, not a top 3 lottery team, but still, how they've smoothed out the odds, you could see a leap from number 7 to number 1, and obviously Cooper Flagg would be pretty much checkmate if he's everything that they expect him to be.
Correct.
Tonight, Luka is doubtful, so the Mavs will not get the dress rehearsal they have wanted. Is this starting to get on your radar at all as far as something we should be concerned about? The Mavs getting off to a slow start, maybe with Luka not being 100% or maybe not able to play?
Well, the good thing is he's practicing. They're just not going to play him tonight. So hopefully he is trending in the right direction to start. But yeah, with some new pieces, with guys like Clay and Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes, like, you would have kind of liked to have seen. And he has been practicing until just now.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been able to really get that rapport with some of those guys. So there could be a little bit early on, like, maybe not everybody's quite on the same page. Maybe there's some passes that end up going out of bounds because I think Clay's going to be in the corner and he's not quite there at his spot yet. I mean, that's very, very possible. It takes a game or two to kind of get in the flow.
He is a basketball genius, though. You could probably just roll it out there and he'd be responsible for a ton of points and a big win. 214, no general. Yeah, I guess when you're talking strained calf, everybody remembers the Kevin Durant thing, and it's not just that one. There's lots of strained calves that guys just can't, you know, play from for like a month, 6 weeks, 2 months. You know, these things can linger, and a lot of times medical staffs, you know, advise the team to not play them at all out of fear of a torn Achilles resulting. So that's just what you want to steer clear of. But if he's been practicing and it was possible at all that he was legitimately going to play tonight, then, you know, I think for now we're good. The morning news has another key piece of puzzle for viewers of the Mavs on television. Okay, you're going to get an app with details coming next week, but fans have been wondering what apps, what providers are going to carry this new channel number 29. AT&T UVerse, Charter, DirecTV, Dish, Frontier, Fiber Keller, Fubo, Grande Communications, OneSource Communications, and Optimum. So pretty much like every dang cable outlet. I think the total is 14 million households now with the very latest numbers. If you don't have any one of those, you're basically just rocking with the free TV. You can still access Channel 9 with the use of a digital antenna. And, you know, that usually costs between $25 to $55. But I can tell you a lot of the newer TVs have an internal digital antenna. You'll be able to dial that right in. Should be no problem at all. But I'm interested to know more about this this streaming app next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Top 10 players are out. What do you think about some of the pertinent and newsworthy events here? Now, this is ESPN's. They have Luka at number two. Just right behind Jokic. Do you think Luka is deserving of that level of recognition from the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, as the second best player in the NBA today? What do you say, guys?
Heck yeah. I know that the defense isn't always there, but there's no question the dominance that he provides and how he has put his team on his back multiple times now throughout his career. He rises in the big moments. He is basically as unstoppable an offensive force as there is. So, and he's clutch, the big shots, like everything about his game other than the crying to the referees and sometimes olaying things defensively. He is just spectacular.
When he does lock in defensively and he has a good game, I don't know if that can be a new norm or if that's just like him in the zone, like just on fire. I don't know. But if he could make that, yeah, I think you would get a lot less eye rolls. Usually when you have a one-sided player, you know, whether it's Steve Nash and you start talking about comparing him with the Kobe Bryant, I'll be like, you could go ahead and give him the MVP, but there's no way an HE double hockey sticks I would take. But what Luka has done offensively, it's so unique. Last year's season, historic in so many ways. The fact he can hit threes, he can finish, he can throw alley-oops, and has eyes in the back of his head for finding three-point shooters. The impact that he's having on the game just offensively, you know, at some point it compensate for any lack of defense.
Yeah, the court vision is brilliant. I think last year, most efficient shooting performance of his career. It seems like he improves every single year. And yeah, we definitely did see the defensive ability during the finals run. I mean, the Western Conference Finals against Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves, he's got that in him. I think certainly it's just kind of the whining at the officials that do get us annoyed. But statistically, he was pretty damn good defensively in the postseason.
Yeah, I do think he cannot whine at the officials at this level if he wants to win the MVP. Like that narrative that went out last year in the playoffs, it was loud.
Yeah.
You know, they were leading with that in their coverage. You know, like, will Luka play good or will he be distracted by the refs is a real thing. So I think if there's high-profile moments, the media would definitely hold that against him.
Got to throw in one more in terms of the knocks on him, also the free throw line stuff.
Yeah, he's got to get better at the free throw line.
That's true.
Absolutely. Come on. I still think I'm down for him trying to think outside the box here with all the step back dominance.
Oh, step back.
Well, just the way he does. I don't know. He makes these crazy trick shots like it's nothing.
Rick Barry, kind of the underhand granny shots.
I think
maybe that's what you're going at.
Take the free throws from the three-point line.
The free throw is just, it's almost like it's too easy. And so it's like not something that he wants the challenge of the crazy trick shot. I think he's better at it. I don't know. Yeah. I'll just be open to some level of like step back, dribble, whatever weird deal that he can pull off.
Yeah, I know. I'm always talking with Abby about working on her layups. I'm like, over the shoulder or the scoop, Kyrie Irving style. And she's like, but I want to do a reverse spin it off the glass, or I want to do a Euro. I'm like, you don't have the fundamentals down, you know?
Right.
Get on the free throw line, knock all those down. Giannis is number three, by the way. I do think Luka's better than Jokic,
Really?
I feel like he's definitely better than Giannis. Yeah. And I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but I'm cool with the Jokic thing. I guess.
I mean, Giannis is just so much better defensively, but Luka's so much better offensively.
Yeah.
Right.
But Jokic, I think, man, he can do that.
The real fun is talking about Giannis maybe wanting to come to the Mavs, you know, because he's got an option in his deal. Me and Mike were talking about that at the break before Crosstalk. Right as Klay and Kyrie come off the books, you would, you know, theoretically have a chance to add Giannis. If Milwaukee is disappointing over the next 2 years, I would expect him to move on. He almost moved on after the last contract was up, but they won the championship.
He's talking about potentially being traded.
Yeah, did you see his quote?
If they don't win the championship.
Yeah.
He goes, you don't know what's going to happen.
His quote's pretty funny with the way that some people on Twitter took it, because he says, if we don't win a championship, I might get traded. This is the job we live. This is the world we're living in. It's everybody at any given moment. If you don't succeed, that might be it for us. If you don't do a good enough job, you're out. And
might be wishful thinking.
Isaac Gutierrez on Twitter said, soft launching the breakup by gaslighting them into not wanting you first.
That's right, dude.
Yeah, it would be real sad to have them trade me out of here. Jokic 1, Shea Gilgeous 4.
Do you think he's better than
Luka?
No, than Giannis.
Shea Gilgeous?
Yeah.
No.
I think he's really, really, really good. But I think Giannis on an actual team, is just unstoppable physically. Mm. Most physically unstoppable thing to Shaq. I guess Wimby will test that. Okay, so my other point of contention, Tatum at 5, Curry at 6, then LeBron at 7. In what world is Curry better than LeBron? I'm sorry. You know, the three-point shooting is great.
The Olympic world.
Right, but he
LeBron did a lot of heavy lifting throughout it, and then he came over the top with two great moments and performances, and there's no question about it, but I'm with you on that. I would say LeBron, but neither one of them have been able to carry their teams into a playoff situation here.
Yeah. LeBron definitely not as good as he was. I mean, in his 20s, he would carry these bumps to the...
No, he'd be number one. Yeah. I think Anthony Edwards is the guy that's getting maybe the short end of the stick here at number 10.
At 10?
I could argue I think Anthony Edwards is better than Shea.
You could.
Whoa.
I mean, he took a big hit. His cardio, neither one of them, is a consistent defensive player anyway. I think their capabilities are.
But Anthony Edwards is the first two rounds of the postseason. I mean, he was getting the Jordan comps left and right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was a humbling experience in the conference finals, and he's got to be getting the oxygen and all that. But it's probably because I put the team on my back the first two rounds.
Kevin Durant coming in at 9 is interesting. It's a big year for the Suns. And I would imagine they'd be looking to trade him as well. Embiid at 8, and then you go LeBron and all the way up through Luka at 2, Jokic at 1. There you have it. ESPN's top 100 is now complete. Would you have Jalen Brunson at 12 overall? Would you rather have him than Kyrie, by the way? I think you would.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving is at 25. Tim McMahon calling him the Mavs' emotional leader. The Olympian Derek White at 39. James Harden at 41. Porzingis at 46, overrated. I mean, he got hurt. They might have got better in the finals without him on the court. Derek Lively at 56. Klay Thompson at 71. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, though, with Brian Broaddus. What's in store, buddy?
Yeah, I've got a game for my guys. It deals with the crossroads, and we'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Yeah, buddy. Danny Cannell coming up at 4 o'clock talking college football with you. It's time now, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well. Got to be glad when start playing football again so I can do breakdowns of games.
You struggle with this segment otherwise?
No, I don't struggle. I mean, it's just like I feel like I'm wearing you guys out, but I hopefully we get some good content out of these things. What I want to do with you guys today is I want to do a little game called On the Right Track or Fork in the Road. On the Right Track or Fork in the Road.
I like what you're doing here. You're pioneering something. This game's never been played before.
Nope.
Yeah.
You're either on the right track or you forking it.
You're in a fork in the road.
You're rooted.
Yeah. Chief, I'll start with you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
On the Right Track or Fork in the Road, Osa Odighizuwa.
Hmm. Well, I guess it's more fork in the road. It's like, are you just going to be a solid dude, or are you going to be somebody that's legit? And I think we've actually discovered who that is now. Like it's been long enough where this is the big leap year. He's a solid player, but he's not a guy that anybody's pounding the table for. Like, oh, you got to keep him on your defense. So I guess it's more fork in the road. I'm not hugely griping about him, but he's just a solid dude.
How about you, Wooly Bully? On the Right Track or fork in the road, Osa Odighizuwa?
I'm an Osa guy. I'd go on the right track. I mean, he was one of the few defensive linemen that I saw do anything possibly good on certain snaps against the Lions. You still see him get upfield. He'll still get some pressures. I think there was a pressure on Jared Goff that forced an incompletion in that game. So, him as a run defender, he's not great, but I do think he provides something that nobody else along your defensive line does. I'd still like to keep Osa around, depending on the contract.
Man, he's got great athleticism, great size. It all should be coming together a little bit better. I'll say he's on track to continue. You know, he's not going to be one of these guys that washes out. He'll have a nice second contract and I'm sure make pretty good money because he's a pass rushing threat from the inside, which is hard to find.
Do you think he'll get the second contract from here?
No. Is it up this year?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I don't think so. Bad spot for it.
Okay. So he's going to be somewhere
else.
He's
a fine player, but he's probably going to be a touch too expensive for what the Cowboys want to do.
Yeah, he's probably going to leave like Malik Collins did. And it's a shame because he's better than what Malik Collins was.
Okay. How about you, Wooly Bully? On the right track or fork in the road, Terrence Steele?
Terrence Steele is a player that I've really struggled with because I was impressed against the Giants with that Brian Burns, didn't allow a single sack. He battled against TJ Watt. There were certainly a couple of snaps where Watt ate his lunch. There were some times where he put Watt on the ground. I think overall, fork in the road. I think Steele is kind of maxed out what you're going to get from him. I think he could be a really good backup swing tackle. I think he's probably better than some other teams' right tackles. But I think you might be in a situation where you look at your current roster. If Tyler Guyton, they play at left tackle and they don't love the progression, I would very much consider just playing Tyler Guyton at right tackle, playing Tyler Smith at left tackle. I've got my bookends of the future now there because I think Guyton can be better than Steele at right tackle.
It's crazy how they settled for average after having greatness along their offensive line and then paying him nearly $20 million a year, Brian. I hope it's a fork in the road. I really do. He obviously had a great sponsor in the offensive line coach that appreciated him. And the head coach talked about how much he loved. He wins the offseason award for the hardest worker. Who cares if the guy can't play? And his good games are too few and far between. I hope they know they got to get rid of Terrence Steele and start finding great offensive linemen again if you want to win with Dak Prescott as your quarterback.
Chief?
Yeah. I mean, certainly based on the contract that he has, certainly not living up to it. And you were hoping that this year, now an additional year removed from the ACL injury, he can return to form. But he was always more of a run blocker than a pass protector, and that is becoming more and more apparent by the second. He's a guy that you really have to help. Aiden Hutchinson was tearing him up.
Was.
You guys, and you know, I the coaches, I blame a little bit there because we talked about that, what, 85% of the time they're playing those guys one-on-one?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt.
You pay the guy $20 million.
No, I just...
But yeah, exactly.
No,
for the contract.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. So do you see this guy as potentially a cap casualty then?
If the contract allows for it, I'm going to have to look into that. But he would be a guy I would love to replace for sure.
I mean, offensive linemen are hard to find. Could you trade him? That contract isn't that bad compared to the rest of the tackles that are getting paid at
the
top of the market.
The idea of trading him would be really interesting right now. I do think it's one of those where the next year's salary guarantees like on the first day of the league year. Yeah. So you have a decision and an opportunity in March if you would want to move on.
Yeah, and you could maybe think about moving Guyton over there if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. I'd go Smith and Guyton are my tackles at left and right side.
Dawson.
Yeah.
Damone Clark. The linebacker, on the right track or fork in the road?
I'm going to say fork in the road. I think he might be one of those guys who's athletic enough that a team will want him for a second contract, but it's disappointing. You know, he's not seeing it fast enough. He's overrunning things. And if, you know, you're going to be that physical kind of linebacker, I need you to be a little bit more consistent than he seems to be at that moment of truth in the play. So I would definitely say, you know, you have a decent group of young, promising linebackers, but he's not one of them.
Chief?
This is Damone Clark?
Yes.
Yeah, this is fork in the road for sure. It's a bummer. I mean, before these injuries, he wasn't even playing on the defense. He was just slowly getting his snaps completely taken away from him, and I understood it. Watching him play was tough. Just the inability to really diagnose, and that's another guy that we had some expectations for, and he just hasn't lived up to him. When I'm looking at the Terrence Steele contract right now, though, it looks like in Spotrac, it says, you know, you pretty much have him for next season as well. Cap hit $18 million. Dead cap.
Doesn't it have that little note down there where it says like the 2025 salary guarantees on March 14th or something like that?
It says potential out 2026. All right. So that's what I'm seeing. 2025 salary fully guarantees
there you go.
March 2024. So I do see that. Yes. I guess your dead cap on that would be 13.5.
Okay.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, it's a fork in the road with Damone Clark, and it's unfortunate. I think there's times where there's like a player to a game where you're like, boom, he saw it. Like, that's the player that I know that you can have. But overall, it's just he's a tick late. The angles aren't always good. I mean, watching him get completely washed on so many of those runs, he needs to fill the gap, and they are doing. It's the tight end comes back over from the left to the right side, watches him out of the play. Now there's a big-time opening for Montgomery and Gibbs. It happens far too often. I think, unfortunately, Damone Clark is just not a guy that can do it.
Yeah, ball's going left, he's going right.
All right, Chief. On the right track or fork in the road, Deron Bland.
Well, he's coming off the injury, so you see how he responds, but last we saw of him, even in training camp, he was a stud corner. So I love Deron Bland. As long as he's not going to be continuously injured or if this injury slowed him down in a huge way. But if he's the same Deron Bland, then he's definitely a guy that I'm a big fan of. I still think his best spot is as a nickel corner in the slot, which has huge value. I want him on my team. I think he's got a dog mentality. I'd rather have him than Trayvon Diggs.
Sure.
So as long as he recovers from the foot injury here, then I say trending in the right direction.
Dawson?
Oh yeah, I would believe this dude's on track. You know, still a great player coming back from the injury. You need more pressure on the quarterback. Pressures create turnovers, and without that, you know, I don't think we're going to get the best parts of Deron Bland or Trayvon Diggs. But he's still definitely on track.
Wooly, yeah,
he's an on track guy. I mean, you've seen him have the ability to play inside or outside. And he can do both at a very, very high level. I still think what he's able to do playing the slot corner, which he did his rookie year, is outstanding. You always got to wonder coming back off an injury, but I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's definitely on the right track. He's one of your big key pieces moving forward.
But is he going to be back? Isn't he? What's his contract situation like?
Well, he's got
in year three. He's got another year left.
Yeah, so he's got one more year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you going to be able to?
I don't think they'll let him go.
No. I would think not either. That's why I was asking.
And I don't think he's going to be like a top-of-the-market corner.
That's when you should probably get 15. Ahead of.
Yeah, yeah, maybe get ahead of that one. Okay, Dawson, last one here.
Uh-huh.
Turpin.
Oh, he's on track. Yeah, an impressive track. You know, maybe a little bit of a late bloomer in the NFL, but there's definitely a role for that guy. He's tough, jet sweeps, deep ball, special teams. Got a nice career in this league.
Chief.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his for the right role, of course. He's not a one or two or a focal point necessarily in an offense, but I think he adds a nice dimension to and if he was in a different offense, I think you'd see other coordinators getting a lot more out of him.
That's kind of where I'm at with him right now. Wooly, where are you with that?
Yeah, I think if you look at what Tutu Atwell does on the Rams, he could be that type of player potentially. Like, I don't think he's a top three receiver for you, but as a number four guy that you can wrinkle in and have some fun packages for. And clearly on special teams, what he's able to do by tilting field position, that's a weapon.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that he's a guy that maybe they're not using him the right way. You know, we kind of saw the stuff in the OTAs. I mean, they try and get him involved, and then they don't do any of that during the season. I think that's disappointing.
Well done, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Danny Cannell talking college football with you next here in the Nation. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.